Jesse.
And I'm Roy. And this is UMBC Observatory Star Talk.
Star Talk.
We're going to talk to you about stars. So what can we see from Baltimore this evening?
You can actually see a lot from Baltimore in this nice June/July summertime sky. You can see a few planets, you can see a few stars, and depending on the day, you can see the moon. I think the most important part for finding any of these things is to like orient yourself.
Right, okay, so how do we find which way is north? I guess if you live in the city, like I do, you can use the streets to find which way is north.
Right. So, for example, if you're in Baltimore, you've got Charles Street, for example, running north-south, so it's pretty easy to find north.
Yeah.
But if you are away from the city...
A little tougher. So if we're outside of the city, how can we find which way is north?
Most people listening would probably think, well, the first thing to do is find the North Star.
Yeah, it seems right. I mean, North Star is north, right?
Right. But what most people don't know is that the North Star is not particularly bright.
That's not real helpful. We can still try and figure out which way is north, though, right?
Right. There are a few ways to find the North Star and thereby find north just by using some stars that are around the North Star.
So we're going to look for a pretty famous shape in the sky to help us find north, right?
That's right. We're going to look for the Big Dipper.
The Big Dipper.
The Big Dipper is, of course, not a constellation, but an...
It's an asterism.
It's an asterism. What is an asterism?
It's kind of like a constellation, but not really. It's not on the list. It didn't make the cut.
Right, it didn't make the cut. There are 88 official constellations, but asterisms are just, I guess, relegated to fun patterns in the sky.
Right, and they can be part of constellations. In fact, the Big Dipper is a part of a constellation.
Right, Ursa Major.
Ursa Major.
Or the Big Bear, right?
One of the official constellations.
Exactly.
On the list.
It is on the list. But Ursa Major itself is built from many stars. A lot of them are too dim to see, certainly from Baltimore, but even if you're away
from Maryland, really.
Right, they're hard to see, all of these stars. However, the Big Dipper has...
Seven stars?
Seven stars that are pretty bright. And once you found those, you can actually be pretty sure that you're looking north.
So having found the Big Dipper, we can find our way to the North Star by using two of the stars in the cup of the Big Dipper, right?
Right. And those two stars are actually the furthest from the handle of the Dipper. And those two stars are the pointer stars.
They call them that because it points right to the North Star.
Yeah. Right. But again, finding the North Star, not super important.
And in fact, the pointer stars aren't that bright compared to even the rest of the Big Dipper.
Right. I think the handle is probably the brightest part of the Dipper. And actually, we should probably focus on that.
That's going to help us find some stars in the summertime that we're looking for this evening.
Right. So if you are familiar with the shape of the Big Dipper, or at least the handle of the Big Dipper, you'll notice or remember that it's curved a bit, or there's sort of an arc to it.
So there are three stars in the handle of the Big Dipper that form an arc.
Right.
And that can help us find another bright star in the summertime sky.
Yeah, if you actually follow that arc away from the northern part of the sky, that is away from the cup of the Dipper, you can follow that arc to this bright star in the southern part of the sky, called Arcturus.
Yeah, and so it's easy to remember because you can follow the arc to Arcturus.
Right. And Arcturus is in another constellation, not Ursa Major, but Boötes.
Boötes the herdsman.
The herdsman. Man, I always forget what these constellations are.
He's got some herds.
I guess. And Boötes, just like Ursa Major, is built from a bunch of stars, but many of them are too dim to see, even from the Maryland area.
Arcturus is really what you're looking for. It's a very bright star. I think it's the fifth brightest star in the sky.
Oh, I don't know.
It's well, top 10, certainly.
Okay.
We should probably look it up before I say that assertively.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, Arcturus is a bright star. Certainly, you can notice it. And has distinctive kind of reddish-orange color. Yeah.
I agree.
So having found Arcturus... Using the Big Dipper's handle, we follow the arc to Arcturus. We can actually find another bright star called Spica. And what you do is you follow the arc to Arcturus, and then you speed on to Spica, or you drive a spike to Spica.
Right.
It's not quite the same line, but it's nearby. It's close enough that you can kind of follow that line and see really the brightest star in that area of the sky.
And it might be helpful to note that it's closer to the horizon than Arcturus.
Yeah, Spica is going to be lower, certainly.
Right.
Than Arcturus.
And Spica is in another well-known constellation called Virgo.
Virgo the Maiden. And Virgo is well-known because it's part of a special group of constellations that we call the Zodiac. So the Zodiac is well-known, and the Zodiac is interesting because it marks the path of the sun as it travels through the sky.
Right.
From the point of view of the Earth. And so that also means it shows us where the moon is going to be.
Right, the path of the moon.
The path of the moon, exactly. The moon will always appear in a zodiac constellation.
Right.
And also, all the planets will appear in a zodiac constellation.
Right.
So if we know how to find the zodiac, we know how to find, well, the moon, certainly. And the sun, certainly. We can find those easily. But the planets might be a little tougher to find. But knowing the zodiac will help us. And so this evening, we can see not only Virgo...
Or Spica.
We find Spica, and it tells us kind of where Virgo is. Kind of hard to see most of Virgo, but Spica is bright enough. You can see it certainly from anywhere in Maryland.
And maybe to help you find the zodiac, or the path that the sun, the moon, and the planets take through the sky, what you can do is you can wave your hand through the sky from east to west or west to east, making sure to cover Spica. And if you're doing that, you can be pretty sure that you're waving your hand through all of the zodiac constellations that are up in the sky. Having found Spica in the constellation Virgo,
right?
If you follow the zodiac, or the path of the zodiac, also known as the ecliptic, from west to east, after you move past Spica and past Virgo, you'll find another star, a reddish star, pretty dim, but visible around Maryland, and that's Antares in the constellation Scorpio.
And actually, the name Antares is very interesting. It means Mars's rival. And the reason is because it's very similar to Mars in a lot of ways, at least from a naked eye point of view.
So once you've found Antares in the zodiac constellation Scorpio, you can be pretty sure that you're traveling along the zodiac, you're traveling along the ecliptic, which is this imaginary line that runs through the zodiac constellations. And if you keep following this imaginary line, or the zodiac constellations east, and if you wait until late enough in the night, I think around 10 or 11 p.m., you'll find two bright dots in the sky.
Now, those are not going to be stars. Those are going to be planets.
Which two planets will they be, Jesse?
Well, there's going to be one bright one.
One bright one?
And one medium bright one. So we'll see two planets.
Right. Both of these dots, both of these bright dots, will be planets. First one that you find will be Jupiter, the brightest one. And then a little bit further east will be Saturn. Now, Jupiter, the largest planet in our solar system, is really good at reflecting the sun's light. It's also closer to us than Saturn. And so Jupiter appears brighter in the nighttime sky than Saturn.
But that's not those aren't the only planets we can see tonight, Roy.
What?
If I recall correctly, those aren't the only planets we can see tonight.
If you wait until about 2 or 3 in the morning, you'll find another bright dot along the ecliptic, further east than Jupiter and Saturn. And again, you'll want to wait until 2 or 3 in the morning for this thing to get pretty high up in the sky. The object, it's Mars, rises at 1 a.m., but at that point it's so close to the horizon that it's pretty hard to make out with the naked eye.
So if you're looking for Mars this evening, as we said, it rises around 1, but you probably won't spot it until 2, 2:30, maybe even 3 o'clock, because it's hard to see objects on the horizon.
That's right. The closer things are to the horizon in the nighttime sky, usually the harder they are to actually make out. You want to wait until objects are high enough in the sky that their light isn't moving through the thick atmosphere of the Earth close to the horizon.
Not to mention, sometimes it's hard to get a view of the horizon.
Especially in Baltimore City.
Because you might have a building or trees in the way. It depends on your view of the east as they're rising. But if you wait an hour or two, they get higher in the sky. You can see the planet you're looking for. You can see the star you're looking for. It'll give you a better view. And so that's why we say you should look at Mars probably around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, rather than 1 o'clock when it's rising.
Right. And of course, if you wait even later, into the night, or even in the morning at this point, if you wait just before sunrise, or just before even twilight, probably like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, you'll see another bright dot in the sky. This again, not a star.
Extraordinarily bright.
Oh, it will be. It'll be really bright.
It'll be quite bright. You won't miss it.
Right, brighter than all the other things that we've talked about so far in the sky. This planet is, of course, the morning star.
Sometimes the evening star.
But this time the morning star.
It's Venus.
It's Venus.
It's Venus. Venus is very bright. It is closer to the sun than the Earth, which means it gets a lot of sunlight. It is closer to the Earth than Jupiter, than Mars, than any of the planets, which means we get a lot of its light. And also, it's very light colored. It has a very reflective atmosphere. And so, the most light that hits it comes and reflects back into space where we can see it, which makes Venus extraordinarily bright in the sky. Actually, as we move later into the year, Venus is going to move further from the sun, which means it will be rising earlier and earlier away from the sun. And you may see it fairly bright in the early morning before the sun comes up and even before twilight. Roy agrees.
And of course, Venus being so close to the sun, its orbit closer to the sun than the Earth's, in the nighttime sky, there's not too much night left after you find Venus. So in the next hour after you can spot Venus in the eastern sky, you can expect the brightest object in the sky to rise.
And that's the sun, of course.
Right. After which, it's really difficult to do any more astronomy, unless you've got some really fancy goggles.
UMBC Observatory. I'm Roy.
And I'm Jesse.
Adios.